commentaries on the four last books of Moses, arranged in the form of a harmony. Volume 4 by John Calvin. Deuteronomy 1:6-8. The Lord our God spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them, and to their seed after them. Verse 6. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb. In this second narration, Moses expressly declares that God not only gave them a visible sign by uplifting the cloud, but that he also verbally commanded the people to leave Mount Sinai and to set about the performance of the rest of their journey. God says then that enough time had been spent in one place, for before they left it, an entire year had passed away there. Although there were 11 days' journey before them, before they would arrive at Kadesh Barnea, nevertheless, lest anything should delay the people, who were naturally but too indolent, he stimulates them by setting before them the ease with which it might be accomplished, telling them that they had but to lift up their feet and advance in order to attain the promised rest. Numbers 9:17-23. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord, and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Verse 17. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle. Moses before informed us that the tabernacle was so distinguished by a visible miracle that God made it manifest that he dwelt there. Not that he left heaven and removed to that earthly house, but in order to be nigh to his people by the presence of his power and grace, whenever he was invoked by them. He now reports another miracle, that God, by uplifting the cloud, gave a sign, as it were, by which he commanded them to strike the camp. And when the cloud rested on the tabernacle, it was a sign that they should abide where they were. Here, however, a question arises. Since it has been already said that, immediately after their departure from Egypt, the cloud was like a banner to direct the march of the people, it follows that they were not now for the first time admonished by its being lifted up to collect their baggage and ordered, as it were, to advance. The answer is easy. That the people were indeed previously directed by the sight of the cloud, as we have seen, but that here a new fact is related. That is, that since the tabernacle was set up, the cloud, which hitherto was suspended in the air and went before the camp, now settled on the sanctuary. For a fresh acquisition of grace is here proclaimed by the more certain and conspicuous sign, as if God showed himself more closely and familiarly as the leader of the people. Although, therefore, the cloud had been the director of their march from its very commencement, yet it more fully illustrated the glory of the tabernacle when it proceeded from thence. Verse 18. At the commandment of the Lord. The mouth is here used by metonymy for the speech. Nor does there appear to me to be so much harshness in the Hebraism, but that it may be appropriately retained. But it is asked whether God actually spoke or not, for the word mouth is often repeated. It is indeed likely that Moses was instructed but once what was meant by the removal or remaining of the cloud, yet I doubt not but that the name of word or commandment was given to the sign, inasmuch as God speaks as much to the eyes by outward signs as he does to the ears by his voice. Still, from this mode of expression we may gather that the use of signs is perverted and nullified, unless they are taken to be visible doctrine, as Augustine writes. The repetition, which certainly has no little force, shows how worthy this is of observation. Verse 19. Then the children kept the charge of the Lord. Some, in my opinion, extend this too far, thinking that when the cloud tarried, the children of Israel, being, as it were, at leisure, employed themselves in the worship of God. But I restrict it rather to that heedfulness which is then praised at some length. To keep the charge, custodiam, then, is equivalent to regarding the will of God with the greatest earnestness and care. For when the cloud had begun to rest in any place, the people knew that they were to remain there. But if on the next day they were not attentive, the cloud might vanish, and thus their neglect and carelessness might deprive them of this incomparable advantage. To this end, it is said immediately afterwards that if for one day or more, or even for a month or a year, the cloud stood still, the people was, as it were, tied to the spot. The old interpreter has not badly rendered it. The children of Israel were upon the watch. Since day and night they anxiously expected the time when God would command them to move forward. The last verse of the chapter confirms this sense, where it is again added that they kept the charge of the Lord at his mouth by the hand of Moses. Whence it appears that Moses was God's interpreter, so that they might set forth on their march whenever the cloud, being lifted up, pointed out to them the way. Nor can it be doubted but that it preceded them, so that they might know in what direction God would have them proceed and whither they were to go. Moreover, it must be observed that in both respects it is counted worthy of praise in the people that they should either journey or continue where they were at God's command. Thus is that absurd activity condemned which engages itself in endless work, as if men could only obey God by turmoil. Whereas it is sometimes no less a virtue to rest when it so pleases God. This audio recording was read by Michael Ives. I hope you found it enlightening and edifying. Visit westportexperiment.com for more audio resources, and where I write about parish missions, the care of souls, and all things Reformed.